This is WFAE News. I'm Gwendolyn Glenn. Yesterday, Governor Roy Cooper released health guidelines for reopening North Carolina's public schools, and he made it clear there will be big changes.
Students and staff will be screened for illness before they enter the school. Children will be asked to stay distant from classmates. They won't be sharing pencils or textbooks, and there will be a lot of cleaning.
The plan requires all schools and districts to plan for three scenarios in August, ranging from relatively light restrictions to opening with remote learning only. WFAE education reporter Andos Helms joins us to talk about what this means. And does this mean families now know what to expect on August 17th?
Well, no. It's like almost everything related to the coronavirus. Each new answer brings a dozen new questions. But we do know a bit more than we did a couple of days ago. The governor and state health officials have released a 26-page document that's a mix of mandates and suggestions. So if students return in person on August 17th, which is not guaranteed, we know there will be temperature checks every day before students can enter schools or get on buses. Schools will have to adjust cafeterias and other common spaces to avoid dense crowds. Students and faculty will be strongly encouraged but not required to wear cloth masks. We know there'll have to be alternative plans for students and employees who are at high risk from the virus. And all of that's in the best case scenario, if the number of infections is leveling off or trending down.
So what's the worst case scenario?
The worst case is that COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations spike and the governor decides it's unsafe to return in person. It's worth noting that today the state announced that we have 774 people hospitalized, which is the highest number yet. So schools have already been ordered to prepare remote learning plans, and they could have to use that for the start of the coming year, although everyone really hopes to avoid that. So there is an in-between scenario, and it's pretty challenging. Schools and buses would be limited to 50% of capacity, which almost certainly would mean that students would be alternating days of in-person and remote learning. Buses would have to keep students 6 feet apart. It's mind-boggling to think about how all of this would work. Charlotte Mecklenburg Schools alone runs more than 1,000 buses to 175 schools, and a bus doesn't just make one run and return to the lot. It makes trips to 2, 3, or even 4 schools each morning and afternoon. So how do you spread that out? CMS also has a lot of large crowded schools. So how do you spread out lunches that already start well before 11 in the morning? How early do high school students have to arrive to go through a screening line and be in class at 7:15 in the morning?
And how are principals supposed to enforce social distancing in crowded schools?
I talked about that with Gabe Shule, who will be a senior at Ardrey-Kell High, which is one of the state's largest schools.
It seems almost impossible to enforce 6 feet apart when you've got, you know, more than 3,000 students switching classes through some pretty crowded hallways. When I'm changing classes at Ardrey-Kell, I don't think there is a moment where I'm 6 feet apart from a single person.
And Amanda Thompson, who's a math facilitator at a K-8 school, says there are challenges with young students in any setting.
Looking at kindergartners and first graders, it's hard for them, A, to keep their hands off of each other, and B, to be 6 feet distance. Because in kindergarten, when you really learn how to be sociable, you really learn how to get along with other kids, you know.
So from all I've seen and heard, this part is going to be really, really tough.
So, Anne, what else are you hearing people are worried about?
As much as everyone wants to get kids back in the classrooms, there's still a lot of fear about safety. Shannon Stein is head of Lake Norman Charter School, and she said she fielded questions from families this morning, and they were asking what options they have if they don't feel comfortable sending their kids back in person. Can they opt out and do remote learning? That's not clear yet. And of course, there's one huge unanswered question, which is, how much is all of this going to cost and who's going to pay for it? Eric Davis is chairman of the State Board of Education. He says state officials are going to have to get some of those cost estimates from local districts as they make their plans.
So what comes next?
On Thursday morning, state education officials are going to flesh out some of the details of how to carry out the health rules. And on July 1st, Governor Cooper says he'll announce which of the three paths schools will pursue based on what the medical trends show. So I suppose that's really the big thing to watch is, can we adults handle social distancing and safety measures so that our kids and teachers get to give it a try in August?
Well, Anne, thanks for that update.
Thank you.
WFAE's education reporter, Anne Doss-Helms.